Transcendental realism and empirical idealism. So, here is the tweet that started it all. I just realised that there's another controversial philosophy opinion I can air here with little to no explanation. The one major point on which I diverge from Kant is that I increasingly think he got things backwards, and we should be empirical idealists and transcendental realists. Now I have to actually explain this, so here goes. I wrote a long piece over a decade ago, titled The Essay on Transcendental Realism. It's the prototypical piece. Too long for an article, too short for a book, too analytic for continentals, too continental for analytics. It's the great bastard child of my corpus. This was back in the early days of the speculative realism blogosphere, and the point of the essay was to try and put some methodological meat on the bones of the transcendental realism that Ray Brassier had appropriated from Wilfred Sellers, and to oppose it to the return of pre-critical metaphysics popular in other quarters. The aim was to provide a recognisably post-Kantian definition of what metaphysics is in broadly epistemological terms, avoiding the inevitable circularity of those who take metaphysics to be first philosophy, and so define it in its own terms. I did this by trying to provide a substantive account of the meaning of the word real, around which so many debates about realism, idealism, and what Quentin Meyersu calls correlationism turn. Without going into too much detail, my strategy was to take a position I call deflationary realism, exemplified by Robert Brandom's anti-metaphysical interpretation of Hegel's idealism, and to radicalise it. In short, Brandom's view is that one cannot understand the structure of the world without understanding the structure of thought, and vice versa, a notion he calls symmetrical sense dependence. I take transcendental realism to be the position that this dependence is actually asymmetric. Understanding the structure of thought is a necessary but not sufficient condition of understanding the structure of the world. To use an example I'm quite fond of, there's a difference between the question, what is time, and the question, what does time mean? There's a logic of time, articulated by mathematics and computer science, that delimits but doesn't determine the metaphysics of time. The same goes for other important metaphysical questions about space, causality, individuality, essence, and so on. Now, it's not articulated in the essay, but I later came to realise that Sellers' transcendental realism is his main divergence not simply from Kant, but from the neo-Kantians as well. Arguably, this is also the point of divergence between Kant's late work in the Opus Posthumum and his earlier critical project. The key point for both is that the whole faculty of sensibility, including the imagination, has a causal structure. I'd argue that this is actually implicit in the first critique, a fact that most of Kant's successors and inheritors either fail to understand or actively reproach him for. Consider the famous neo-Kantian objection that Kant's accounts of the noumenal, as that which affects sensibility, involves an illegitimate extension of the category of causality beyond the bounds of experience. This misses the point, because Kant explicitly holds that we can think the noumenal, and thus that the categories extend this far. Sellers' use of the Peircean notion of an ideal empirical science, which is to say, a completed scientific image of the world, is similarly controversial with his inheritors, and it plays essentially the same role as the noumenal in Kant. Yet its pragmatic attachment to the actual practice of empirical science, as simply an ideal projection of this practice, renders it a scientific realism as opposed to Kant's transcendental idealism. What about empirical idealism, though? The idea that this should be paired with transcendental realism came to me much later, as I began to reinterpret Kant's account of the role imagination plays in the faculty of sensibility, in light of the predictive processing paradigm in cognitive science, and other ideas from artificial intelligence and computer science. In a word, it's all about simulation. Another way to put this is that interpretations of Kant as a direct realist are philosophically obscene. Kant is the first great indirect realist, in the sense of conceiving a distinction between our phenomenal simulation of objects in our conscious experience and the objects to which they are bound in the world. This is the true methodological genius of his Copernican turn, which is at its heart anti-Aristotelian. Primary substances aren't given to us as individuated. The world is not cut at its joints for us without effort. The whole purpose of Kant's transcendental psychology is to explain the effort required to cut it up. On this basis, it's hardly surprising that such avowed Kantians as John McDowell and Sebastian Rodl are in their heart of hearts Aristotelian, or to put it in Salazian terms, philosophers of the manifest image. By contrast, Kant is the philosopher of Newton's reach into the icy dark beyond such things. Much as with Luther, Calvin, Descartes, and Spinoza before him, Kant's Copernican Revolution is a Platonist rebellion against Aristotle's overbearing influence on the tradition, be it in spiritual matters or scientific ones. It is the next step in the mathematical conquest of the realm of becoming. Nevertheless, Kant is not without error here. I won't go into too much detail, but his notion of transcendental affinity ties the bond between the causal constraints imposed in our imagination and the capacity of reason to think that which we cannot experience far too tightly. This is what ultimately creates what Mayesu calls the transparent cage of correlationism, in which the enabling conditions of thinking become constraints on what can possibly be thought, cleaving the noumenal from every possible pragmatics of ongoing empirical inquiry. I gave a talk about this in Dublin several years ago, called Copernicanism Without Correlationism, which you can find on my blog if you want to go into the details here. It's possible to overcome this mistake in a Kantian way, but doing so requires the inversion of his framework for idealism and realism. This means more than simply recognising that the mind is a causal system whose functional structure can be abstracted from its implementation. That's precisely what Kant does in his transcendental psychology of the mind as a whole, with the faculties of understanding, judgment, and reason. But he distinguishes sensibility from these by defining our finitude as a specific implementation that imposes non-trivial constraints on our thinking. As if the way our everyday experience is fitted to the familiar Euclidean world could prevent us from comprehending the stranger abstract spaces of string theory and its competitors. To reject this constraint, the noumenal must be seen as a real unity, approached by the practical ideal of empirical inquiry, while the phenomenal is a variety of ideal approximations produced by those overlapping simulations united by such inquiry in the last instance. This embrace of empirical idealism is an advance upon Sellers, because it enables us to take into account the actual disunities of empirical science, elided by the way in which he idealises it. This is one feature of post-Salazian philosophy of science that needs embracing. To give a concrete example, the assumptions of the Newtonian mechanics used to simulate forces by engineers, often with pen and paper, but sometimes with computational simulations, conflict with our best available theories of the fundamental forces governing the universe at all scales, even if they work in practice. Mark Wilson is the master of such messy interfaces between theoretical disciplines and their technical applications. He's right to complain that the claim that theories are idealizations is often used to disguise an ignorance of the devilish details involved in deploying science in the world. If you've never come across it, please go away and look at some of the essays in his book Physics Avoidance, which will no doubt grant you some new knowledge of how much you don't know about physics and its uses and abuses. In particular, check out the essay on Leibniz, which is absolutely phenomenal. Coming back to my main point, what I'm saying is that these different systems of simulation, be they internal to our imaginations, mediated by technical prostheses, are completely outsourced to computer models, are stitched together in practice like a patchwork quilt, which contains interesting anomalous gaps. If we rise to the level of the most famous example, the incompatibility between the underlying assumptions about space and time in quantum mechanics and general relativity, we find working hacks deployed as promissory notes in lieu of some deeper unifying theory. This is precisely how sciences develop, according to Imre Lakatos, though that's another topic for a different day. When we consider empirical science as a rational whole, a distributed system constantly in the process of trying to divest itself of such anomalies in pursuit of some ideal of unity it may never achieve, we see that these different simulations are perspectives on the same thing. This is where there is some real sense in which we must pass from Kant to Hegel, even if it is for the sake of banishing idealism to the empirical and elevating realism to the transcendental, with no absolute spirit in sight. Most of the as yet inchoate disagreements between myself and Reza Negrestani consist in how one draws the line on how far one can get with Kant, and at which point one must pass to Hegel, and then maybe back again. Though, that being said, there's also a Sellers Carnap beef in there somewhere. I'm looking forward to working out these divergences in more detail, because we still agree far more than we disagree, insofar as we mutually recognise in one another different imaginatively articulated perspectives on the same rational whole. But that's going to have to wait for another day. I hope you all enjoyed these thoughts.